Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
This is how I sounded when I was drinking the hot buttered rum last night.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner, you hear.
What will you hear? 7:11 in the morning.
Silver bells.
Silver bells.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems. Good morning, everybody. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lindsay, it's our last show of 2015.
It sure is.
Because we are both taking next Saturday off. Dave Plyer is going to come in and try not to take it off the rails. Rob Hart, hello there. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Merry Christmas to Lindsay, too.
And what is going on at the Rob Hart home for the holidays?
I wish I had the time to enjoy hot buttered rum because we're playing Christmas catch-up. We're going to go all the way up to the wire.
Wow.
I'll be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Eve into Christmas Day, just like last year, building devices and toys for
our
daughter.
Don't forget the batteries.
No, I won't forget. We have so many batteries, we'll have power until the end of time.
Yeah.
But last year, I had to build a kitchen playset for our daughter, and it was the first big Christmas present for Harriet, and I had some sounds and movies of the season along with me because I got through 8 episodes of Dexter while building this kitchen playset.
There's a weird juxtaposition there.
Nothing says Christmas like a TV series about a serial killer.
Right, as you're building something for your daughter.
So
it was
Rob-
compelling.
Yeah,
Rob, can I ask you, how many dresses does Harriet have for Christmas?
She goes through like 7 outfit changes a day.
Wow, she's like Cher.
Yeah, she is like Cher. Yeah.
Sydney and Sadie are the same way.
Really?
She can't stop.
Yeah.
I think we had to get another wardrobe for her to accommodate part 2 of her dress collection.
It's so funny that you bring this up. Yesterday, we came down to do the Miracle on Jerry Well Street, which was super fun. And Lindsay actually picked me up because now all my children, who are much older than all of yours, are home and they need cars. So I had to give up my car so Carmen could go, I don't know, get a haircut or do whatever.
I have a new name, by the way, for Lindsay's ride service.
Yeah.
Can we call it Luber?
Luber. I love it.
That is good.
It's good. So my Luber picked me up. And we're also getting Lindsay set up with her own in-home studio. So I had this software I had to give her. Anyway, she comes down to my office, and I said, look, this is how you use it, this and that. And she's like, well, I didn't know you had this office. What was this before? And when our daughters were younger, it was the doll room. And so the whole little room, I mean, it's a little room. It's actually the old furnace room. And we used to have all these little drawers where there were all these little dress-up things, and there was a little kitchen set right outside there with a, stove and a sink and whatever. And I remember when we finally put all that stuff away or donated it, to places, it was sad because the girls used the American Girl dolls, had a little bed and furniture. My God, we spent a fortune on that stuff. How old is your daughter, Rob?
She's 2.
2, okay. So we're not into the American Girl. Just wait.
Yeah, that's around the corner.
Dude, you got to start saving like that, like you're sending them to college.
I think there
honest
is,
to God.
I think we have a 527 plan
for
American Girl.
American, they should come up with something like that, like their own savings plan to start, here's a good idea. So I saw this story on CNBC when I was flying somewhere. Good morning, everybody. It's the Mr. Fix-It Show, 312-981-7200. There is a company out of California that sells fractional stock in companies as per gift cards. So they have, you know how you can go to Walgreens or Jewel and buy a Best Buy gift card or a, you know, they have a whole list of different things you can buy. This company, you can buy $50 worth of stock in Apple or $25 worth of stock in GE or General Motors. And so these little gift cards are available. And I tried to contact the company because, of course, I want to sell them at the Ace. Because I think it would be kind of a cool thing for the holidays, but nobody called me back. I mean, think about that. The gift of stock. You get somebody investing, right? Now, I mean, $50 of Apple, I don't know what Apple's trading at, but it's, I bet it's well over a couple $100 because I know they split. But now you have a fractional ownership in the company and you get people starting to think about that. American Girl Doll should do the same thing. They should create like future customers. Because now if they did it, think about this. So your Sadie's going to be, she's 2.5? So now it's like, oh, Merry Christmas. Here is an American Girl Doll gift card. For the few. Now all of a sudden people start giving them to you. Now she turns 6 or 7 and you've got $250 in gift cards. Like, we got to go to American Girl Doll. And guess what you'll do? You'll spend it all.
So it's really like a present for mom.
Why?
Well, I mean, then we don't have to. Yeah.
You still have to go to America.
Sadie a $25 gift card and say, here's a gift card for 2 years from now when we go to.
Well, right, but it's kind of like a thing a grandparent would do.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
Or you can do like what my friend did, and she's tricked her daughter into believing that American Girl is sold at Target. And Target does a knockoff.
Oh.
And her daughter thinks it's the greatest thing. I mean, she'll catch on eventually, but.
Right. And then she'll. You know, they'll be in therapy. You lied to me about the American Girl Doll. That's not Wendy or whatever her name is.
Kirsten, Samantha.
Right, exactly. All the names are just slightly off, right? Kit. It's Kitty or whatever. So 7:17 in the morning. Lots coming. Oh, my gosh. Do I have to read all this? So look at all the things we have coming up. This Noodaloo 2, Rob, do you enjoy a good beverage out on the cold when you're outside?
I enjoy beverages.
Yeah.
I believe in hydration.
All right. Well,
very important.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about this one, but it's kind of a neat idea. Coming up, our Noodaloo 2, it has something to do with drinking outside when it's cold.
You had me at drinking.
I know. Then we every year get the honor to talk with Paul Hammond. He's the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. The Knight Ministry is this amazing organization that is out on the streets every single night, 365 days a year, helping the homeless and people that are struggling with poverty and just need help. They're out there every single night. And so we're going to promote that great organization coming up after 8:35. Then after 9:10 in studio, Steve and Johnny, they have a brand new book called A Little More Less. And this is a book about their long, wonderful relationship with Les Paul. And it's a great Christmas idea and it's a great story. We're going to talk to them a little bit about this book. And we even have a Mr. Fix-It special for you, which is nice. I like that, giving people a deal. You can buy one book for $20 or two for $35, and you can go to A Little More Less, and that's with one S, alittlemoreless.com, and you can go ahead and order that before we even do the interview. So that's coming up all today. But first, let's get to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. This is Steven in Chicago. Steven, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. How can I help you?
Merry Christmas. I recently got an estimate for closed foam insulation for my attic, and I was curious about with the traditional fiberglass. I know you need adequate venting to prevent mold, and with the closed foam, they say you don't need it, and they just cover everything. I was just wondering if you could give me an opinion on that.
Okay, so are you eliminating what you have now?
No, there's. It's in the rafters, there's no insulation there right now.
Okay, so you have an attic. You have an attic floor. Do you walk on that attic floor? Or is it an exposed? Exposed ceiling rafters that you step over?
The attic floor has a plywood type floor on it with insulation between fiberglass between that and the ceiling below it.
Okay. So have them spray the heck out of the underside of those rafters, and you'll probably they'll probably give you about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half, you know, total thickness there. And that'll seal it up. Having a little bit of ventilation up there isn't a bad idea because you're mixing and matching. But it is true when you use a foam insulation, you know, there's two ways to go about this. If you were doing that attic space all with foam and we were going to seal it all up so that no air could infiltrate it because it's such a tight seal, then absolutely you need no ventilation. But because you have two things going on, you still need a little ventilation up there.
Okay. I think I'm not quite understanding because the fiberglass is in the ceiling between the attic and the living room below.
Right. Are you heating are you heating this space?
In the attic? No.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine you're going to have so you've got your attic space, you've got that attic floor, okay? And
Yes. You
have that insulation there. Now because it has a floor over the top of it, that insulation is compressed. Now, while it's going to do a nice job of keeping the heat in the warm side of, you know, the bedroom or whatever rooms are below, you will get some heat loss in that attic space. Now what's going to happen is it's going to come up and it's going to bump up against that tight foam insulation on the underside of that attic, and it can't get out.
Yes.
Warm air is moist air. Now I got moist air up in the attic rolling around, in particular on really cold days. So if you have a continuous ridge vent or you have a mushroom vent or so, I still need that open.
I see.
Capiche?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:22 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks.
Did I already play this one?
Dressed in holiday
style. I just can't get enough Dean Martin.
In the air.
7:26 in the morning. Lou Manfred in here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's also our text line. This is Joe in Des Plaines. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN.
Hello, Luigi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. My question, I have de-icing cables on my roof, and they work beautifully. They eliminate the ice dams perfectly.
Okay.
I'm going away for the first time, not the first time on vacation, but for the first time at 2 weeks at a time.
Nice.
And I'm wondering, is there a danger in leaving the cables plugged in for 2 weeks solid?
No. Do you have neighbors that you like?
I do.
Okay. Then just ask them to, you know, poke when they do me a favor when I'm gone. Can you just take a look at that and just make sure everything's okay?
Uh-huh.
That's all.
But shouldn't you pose any kind of danger leaving them plugged in?
No.
Okay,
great. When you normally use them, you have them plugged in, right? And do you have them plugged into a GFCI outlet?
I do.
Okay. That's fine. As long as everything's in good repair, you got neighbors that you like. You know, say, hey, Jimmy, can you just keep an eye on this thing? Now, who's going to be in this house when you're gone?
Nobody.
Nobody. Are you going to turn the heat down?
Yes.
Okay. So that same guy you're going to ask, I want you to go to the hardware store, and I want you to buy something called, do you have a security system?
No.
Okay. So I want you to go to the hardware store, and for $25, you're going to buy something called a winter guard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little thing you plug into the wall, and then you plug a lamp into it. You turn the lamp on before you plug it in. And you set this little thermostat that's on it to 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your furnace down to 60 degrees while you're gone, right? Save a little money. You don't have a reason to. You could put it at 55 degrees if you wanted to. If the heat goes out and it drops below 40 degrees, the light in the front hall or by the window or whatever is going to turn on.
Uh-huh.
And now Jimmy, I don't know, is your neighbor's name, you got a neighbor named Jimmy?
Dan.
Dan's going to say, the cables look good, but that light went on. I think Joe's heat went out. And then they can go fix it while you're away.
It's
the best $25 you're ever going to spend. It's by Honeywell.
Okay.
It's called a Winter Guard, and you can get it at the hardware store.
Okay. All right, one last question. Now, let's just say that he goes on vacation the same time I do.
Ask another friend.
My roof. If there's nobody there to watch my roof, can I leave the cables plugged in 24/7?
Yes, then your backup is called the Desplaines Fire Department.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Merry Christmas. I appreciate you calling this morning. Quick break, and we'll get to news right after these.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
.7:37 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Brisk morning today. Kind of a little winter feeling. Last night we were at dinner, and I saw it snow just for a little bit. It's great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Joyce in Orland Park. Hey, Joyce.
How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How are you? How can I help you?
I'm great. My husband and I are having a circuit breaker issue. We have, you know, a circuit breaker panel with 15-amp circuit breakers. One of them last night started to pop. Well, every time we try to turn it on, it pops again. Now, nothing is on that circuit, you know, as far as, like, appliances or lights or anything. They're all switched off, but we can't get the circuit breaker to stay on.
So you got a bad breaker.
They do go bad. Oh, okay. So the solution to this problem is pretty simple,
I mean, assuming that, so up until this point, so this particular breaker, what does it service? Does it service outlets in a living room, or what does it do?
You know what? It's our foyer, our entryway into the house, and our upstairs hall, which isn't a big thing, and upstairs bathroom in the hall.
Okay. And so now none of those lights work?
No.
Okay. And we didn't change anything?
Nothing at all. It's been like this for 13 years.
Okay.
So,
it's probably a bad breaker. How handy are we at the Joyce house?
Oh, well, not myself, but my husband's very handy.
Could he replace a breaker? I'm always nervous when you take the front of that panel off.
Generally, he might be able to. Usually electric is the one thing he doesn't touch unless it's just...
Well,
you know,
putting your hand in the breaker panel is, if you don't know what you're doing, is a great way to get electrocuted.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that then.
So what you probably want, you need to get an electrician to come out and and change out that breaker.
Okay.
Okay. The way that you could test it to make sure that it's a breaker, and the way an electrician would test it is, you know, there's individual wires that feed each breaker. They'll take that wire off the bad breaker.
They'll
temporarily put it onto a good breaker and see, does anything pop? Is there some short that we don't know about that's occurring? And if it doesn't pop, the thing that's changing out a breaker, Joyce, is so simple. The cover comes off, you take this big wire up, but you need to know what you're doing. You need somebody that knows what they're doing, because there's a lot of amperage and voltage inside of an electrical panel, and if you slip and do whatever, there's no time for crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I understand.
Get a licensed electrician to come out and do that.
That sounds like a very good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're hoping it was something simple like that.
Correct.
But
right.
I myself wasn't sure if breakers went bad. We've never had that happen.
They do.
Oh, well, thank you for the information. Thanks for taking the call. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Appreciate you calling this morning, 7:40 in the morning. Here's Brian in Racine. Brian, good morning.
Merry Christmas. Love your show.
Thank you very much. Is the Kringle from Racine? Oh. Wait a minute.
It is.
Lindsay's parents dropped off last night a...
O&H Bakery Kringle.
Is that from Racine?
It is.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
do you know it?
Yeah.
Kringle, for those, that's really kind of a Wisconsin thing, right?
Well, it's a Danish
thing.
It's a Danish thing, but I mean, we're not in Finland.
No, it's
so,
not in Finland.
It's like a circular pastry. It kind of looks like a giant donut. And I had a little bite just because I had to have a little bite. It's delicious.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had never heard of it till we moved to Racine, so it's...
Right. It's cool.
I thought everybody had heard of it. I brought it in this morning, and you know, Mike and Andy from the the Loop, and they had no
outside the loop.
They well, don't work, I, they that don't was my shortened way, but I guess it didn't come off right, considering. Yeah, they had never heard of it either. So
yeah, delicious. How can I help you, Brian? Other than talking about a Danish loop?
No, that's okay. They sell them at the gas station here, so it's
do they?
A common thing. Yeah. So we have a tree that we had a professional come take down. It's a very it's an old tree. It's over 100 years old. It was in our backyard, very close to our porch, and it took them 2 days to take it down. And yesterday, when we got home, they informed us that when they got to the point where they were going to grind the stump out, they found out that the tree, the center of the tree, had been filled with concrete at some point.
What?
Yeah, that's what we said.
Wow.
So I mean, it was a very tall tree. It was a, you know, some kind of a maple, probably a Norway maple or something. And they'd cut it down to, I don't know, maybe about 3 feet from the bottom. And the guy that was in charge of the project said that this is not completely uncommon. I guess a long time ago, the house is really old. It's over 100 years old.
Okay.
I guess a long time ago, if there was a space in the center of the tree, rather than taking the tree down, they would just fill it with concrete and hope that that would keep the tree standing, which in this case it obviously did.
Wow.
But now I have. Now
I'm very curious as to how they got the concrete in there.
Well, I guess there was probably like a space way up high and, like a hollow center, if you will.
Right. And with a bucket or something, they kept filling it and dumping it in.
And we've only lived in the house for about 9 years now.
Okay.
So we have no idea when this was done, but the arborist isn't really sure what to tell us to do. They said they obviously can't grind it out with their grinding equipment. They're going to come back out and try and kind of chainsaw around the concrete a little bit. But we really don't know what to do. And obviously, we paid a lot of money to get the tree taken down.
Yeah.
Stump in the backyard.
Okay, so right now you have like a 3-foot trunk hanging up there.
Sticking out of the
ground.
Yeah, the diameter is probably much more than 3 feet.
No. But in other words, they cut the tree down to about, you still have a stump that's sticking out of the ground a couple feet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so their point is they're going to ruin their equipment if they try and grind this thing out. So I would say, based on what you're telling me from a mechanical point of view, they're going to try and take a saw and cut around where this concrete is. You know, they're going to determine. Can you see in the center like how big a circumference this concrete seems to be?
Yeah, it's probably 6 inches. 5 or 6 inches.
So like a small basketball or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a tube of concrete kind of in the center of the tree.
Interesting. Boy, that's interesting. Take some pictures of that. That's kind of cool. They'll cut around that. So if that tube is consistent, get down to the flush to the ground. So they'll cut around it with a chainsaw as close as they can, and then they'll be able to snap what's left. So now I've got this stump that is flush with the ground. Now they need to get a small jackhammer and break out that concrete. At some point, that concrete stops. In other words, it doesn't keep going into the ground all the way to China. So, mm-hmm. At some point, there's a bottom to where the tree was hollowed, where the wood comes up. Now they're going to break all that out. This is not an inexpensive proposition for you, Brian. But they'll rent a small electric chainsaw, a small electric hammer, drill or breaker, break out all that concrete, get it all out of there. Then they can come back with their grinding machine and grind it out.
So I guess my more pressing question is, I'm getting the impression from, this arborist that they're going to wash their hands of this.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get the feeling that they were going to do more than maybe come out and do a little of the wood trimming around it. And, I mean, I don't think they're going to charge us for the grinding fee. I mean, that's probably going to be taken off the invoice.
Okay, so how handy of a guy are you, Brian?
Uh, You know, I'm really handy in my own mind, but we tend to outsource in this household.
All right. Then here's what we're going to do. Here's the conversation I would have with the arborist. Say, I would like you guys to cut this stump as close to the ground as you can. Take the chainsaw. You can see the diameter of this concrete, about 6 inches, and have the guy cut around it and then snap off that trunk. Okay? Then you, Brian, are going to find a little rental house in Racine, and you're going to rent an electric jackhammer. It couldn't be any easier to use. Plug it into the wall. You go out there, you're going to be, your wife's going to be really impressed. Right? Honey, I'm going to be out there with a jackhammer. What do you do for a living when you're not jackhammering a stump, Ryan?
I'm in sales and marketing.
All right. This is going to be a great story for you. Remember when I jackhammered out the stump? And you're going to tell the arborist and say, I'm going to jackhammer out this little bit of concrete. I bet you, Brian, that you're going to, if they cut it down to the ground, I bet you you're only going to go down about 4 or 5 inches. And all that concrete's going to come out. And then you'll tell the arborist, you'll come back and inspect it with your grinder and grind it all out. Because you got to get that thing ground out.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, put plants around it? It'll look ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I can get this electric jackhammer at just the local hardware store, local rental.
Any rental place. It'll be a Bosch jackhammer. It weighs about 90 pounds or 60 pounds, and it's electric, and it's got a little point, and it's like you see the guys on the highway, and you're going to go, tut-tut-tut-tut-tut-tut-tut-tut, and then and it'll come right out, I promise you. Wear some leather gloves and some eye protection, and you can do this.
Oh, I love it.
I know.
I can do this, Lou.
I know you can. Merry Christmas. Then go buy as many Kringles as you can and shug up before you do it. Appreciate you calling. 7:48 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be back right after these. This is, I'm holding the Noodaloo 2 in my hand. It's well made.
In your handsky?
Is my handsky. It's well made. It's comfortable. And Lindsay's going to tell you all about it.
Raise a warm-handed toast to this week's new Tulu 2. If you haven't been to Iceland yet, we have the next best thing to get in there. Meet Handski, the Viking way to enjoy a party without freezing your hands off. Literally. The Handski is a warm wool mitten made with a cup holder sewn right into it for easy access. This just might be the most fun way to drink a cold beverage during the cold here in the Midwest. Whether you're tailgating at the Bears game or Packer games for our friends and family up north, or camping on a cool night, the Handski is designed to keep your hand warm and your beverage cold without making you freeze in the process. I love the design. It's got that cozy wool sweater kind of a look. The only thing it's missing is the other glove. I mean, I kind of like my gloves to match, but overall, it's a fun, cute, and warm way of enjoying a cold beverage during the cold. This would be a great stocking stuffer for the, well, for the drinkers in your life. Grab a drink, put on your handski, raise a toast, and cheers the Icelandic way. For more information, visit Handski, HANSKIE.com. I'll put all the information, as usual, up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNRadio.com and on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. Skull! That's this week's New to Lou 2.
What was the last thing you said?
Skull.
Oh.
That's how you say cheers.
So it's a wool mitten mm-hmm. with no fingers. So it sort of looks like, you know, when a guy breaks his hand and he plays for the NFL in a football game and they wrap his hand mm-hmm. and it's like a club. Mm-hmm. You look like you have a club. Mm-hmm. But a bottle or a can would fit inside there.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't they sell the other glove?
Yeah, I really love it. I think that this is, I mean, it's not something you need. This is not something that you would put on your...
They love this.
You know,
it's not something you
I need this in my life list. But it's, you know, it's fun. It's a great, I would think it would be a great gift
for a college kid.
For a college kid or a me kid.
How much is it?
It's $30.
Wow.
But it's really cute. And I love their whole advertising. It's very, like the website is
really
cool.
You go for
really
anything
cool.
That's Danish.
It's not Danish. It's from, that's Norwegian. That's talking about Vikings.
Isn't that the kind of the same area?
Same area. But
right. They're, you're Skull. Like all, right, all blonde and Skull.
I think it's really, I think it's a fun gift for
when
someone who's a
When you hold
camper.
It like this, it's well, it's sort of like a little hand puppet.
Okay.
Right? It's like Senior Wences.
Yeah, it's
hello,
like a two
hello.
For one.
Hello there. Oh, yeah, put a beer inside me. Oh, I'm hungry. Hello. Right?
Right. That was not they how I have... thought it was going.
Well, it is. It's like a little hand puppet. Hello. This is Nahansky. Too bad this isn't television. I like it. I wonder if I would like it if I had a finger sticking out.
I think that's the point, though, because you don't want your fingers to get cold. Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. I mean, it's a neat idea.
It's hip.
$30.
It's hip.
It's hip. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this would be a fun gift if you were... It'd be a really fun thing I could see if you had a bunch of friends and you were going on a ski trip.
Right.
And it would
or
be
camping.
Like, or camping. It's like a gift for all your friends.
Right. Or sitting around the bonfire. Or like, right. And skull. Everyone puts their hand ski in the middle and cheers with their warm hands and cold drinks.
Yeah. This would be a fun thing, too, for a, if you were a bar at a, like a ski resort.
Oh, yeah.
And you brought out, I'll take a bottle of beer or whatever, and then they give you one of these to put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
that's
a little.
Great idea.
Like a little kind of a marketing thing.
Of course.
That's a fun. Now it's worth the $30. Here, put one of these. Oh my gosh, this is so cool. Then what happens is they buy it. Can I buy these? Oh yeah, we got them in the ski shop, and they're $50.
Right.
Right? Because it's a ski shop.
Right.
Right? That's the cool way to do that.
That's a good spin. I do. I think they're really fun. I think that people...
Do they come in different colors?
They have a pink one.
Yeah, this
one's
gray.
And I think they have a brown one, too.
Yeah.
And they kind of they look that cozy, warm sweater feel. But yes, I do wish that they sold like a lefty or a righty, the other matching pair.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess then if you did that, you would be like, well, I like to hold my beer in my right hand.
It's both, and you can use it either
way. No, but to your point is... if you sold the other glove, depending on how people like to hold their drinks,
mm-hmm.
how do you know which one glove to sell? Like when you hold a beer, what do you do?
Do
you hold it in your right hand or your left?
In my right.
Okay, so now if I sell you this and I sell you a right-handed glove, then it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, you can. There's gloves that are you can go
either
side.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's post a picture of you and put it on Instagram.
Wait. Because I'm all about Instagram now. That's my new thing.
We know.
Hold on. I know.
If you're a fan of Lou on Facebook.
Yeah, now you know I'm all about Instagram now. Hold
Instagram,
on.
Instagram, and he's
here.
Obsessed.
I want to do this now. I'll do this. Like this. Hold on. Okay, hello. What's it called?
It's called the Hansky.
My name is Hansky, and I can hold a drink. Okay, there we go. I'm done now. 7:58 in the morning, 312-981-7200. The information is up on our website. It's also up on Facebook. And you can vibe about it on Vibe Score. This is going to get a good one. This is going to get a good Vibe Score, especially this time of year. Perfect timing. I'm telling you, sell it to bars at like ski resorts. You'll sell a gazillion of them. We'll be back right after this.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays!
8:07 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, ChevyDriveChicago.com, and by Lindemann Chimney Company. Rob, you reported on the Star Wars The Force Awakens. Have we had this conversation? Are you a Star Wars guy?
I am a Star Wars guy.
And will you be attending the...
Already did it. Went yesterday afternoon.
You did. And?
Liked it. It's very good. Without spoiling anything, but if you enjoyed the fun of the original trilogy from 1977 to 83, this is right in with that. It's a great time.
So I was 13 years old in 1977 when Star Wars came out. And there was a movie theater at the time in Skokie. Right along Skokie Avenue, which is now, there's a big, let me think about this, where it was in relationship to, Lake Cook Road, just north of Lake Cook Road on Old Skokie, there was a bunch of theaters there. And me and a bunch of buddies went to go see Star Wars in 1977. Just, showing up. We never even thought, oh, what was it? And the line was completely around the building, and I never saw it. Okay?
You couldn't get in?
Couldn't get in. You know, you're 13. You're like, oh, we're just going to buy tickets. We're going to go. You know, typical kids, right? So I never saw Star Wars when it first came out. And then even years later, I don't think I finally saw Star Wars until I was an adult. Okay? And
well, you were 17, or you were 13.
No, I was
13
at the time.
So you had what, 4 years, five until you became an adult.
Well, right, okay. So it was never a thing for me. You know, it wasn't something that I got all in it. But I like sci-fi, and I'm actually a Star Trek guy myself. I think Lindsay,
me too.
You like Star Trek as well?
Yes.
Although I'm a little disappointed. I hear that there's already a new Star Trek that supposedly is directed by the
Fast and the Furious guy.
Right, and they say that the movie's going to be like Fast and Furious in space.
Well, I saw the trailer and I was disappointed because
yet,
it looked like a Mountain Dew commercial. But Simon Pegg, who wrote the movie and he plays Scotty in the reboot, says don't worry, the actual movie is more in line with the Star Trek that you know and love.
Right. Okay. Good.
I was looking at, speaking of you not seeing Star Wars in 1977, there was a good reason, because I was looking in the Tribune archives, which is now open to everybody. It opened in Chicago on May 27th of 1977 on 4 screens. Star Wars did.
Yeah, and I think one of those screens was in Skokie.
The Edens Movie Theater.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's where we went.
The Esquire downtown, the Yorktown, and River Oaks.
But nobody knew what it was. I mean, nobody knew what it was. There was no such thing as a blockbuster at that point.
No, like Jaws was the only one.
Right, exactly. So I think, Lindsay, you know what I'm going to do? I our son Max, who's 14, right? This is right in his wheelhouse. He and a bunch of buddies went to go see it last night. And when I got home, we got home last night. How was it? It was awesome. I think we may have to call Max and get his review. You know, we hear all these reviewers from these adults, right? Rob Hart loved it, you know. I think I heard Nick DiGilio is going to see it today, but he's never been a Star Wars fan. Dean Richards, I think, loved it.
Did he?
Yeah, Dean said, gave it a great review. But I think we should talk to Max.
Yeah.
Right, today? Get a little Star Wars review from a kid's perspective.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So we got to figure out when he's awake, and we'll call him. 8:10 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Lynn in Aurora. Lynn, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. How can I help you?
I'm going out of town for 5 days this week, and I'm wondering, do I need to turn off my water in the house?
How many days?
5 days.
Well, it's not a bad idea. Look, a pipe can burst at any time, and if no one's going to be home, just turning off the water is not a bad idea. The one thing I will tell you, though, is do you have a automatic ice maker?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the trick. Turn off the ice maker as well.
Okay.
Because it'll start to draw water, and then it'll create all kinds of air gaps in your system that it's going to spit and sputter like crazy. And it can actually freeze the line of the ice maker too. So shut the water off.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard the earlier caller about this $25 item called a winter guard that you can buy.
Yes.
That's the best $25 you're going to spend.
Okay, great.
And then you have a neighbor there that you can keep an eye on, put a lamp in the front window and say, if that lamp goes off or turns on, can you come and check on my heat? And then turn the place down to 60 degrees.
Okay, well, I've got one of the Ecobee, the smart thermostat, so it's going to go down if nobody's home anyway.
Oh, you have an Ecobee?
Yes.
Oh, well, then don't worry about it. Then you can monitor it from your smartphone.
Right.
And where are you going?
Florida.
Where?
Palm Coast. My son's down here for the holidays.
Nice. Well, that sounds like a great trip. Have a lovely time.
Thank you. Lou, I have one more quick question. I heard you talking to an earlier caller about the attic insulation.
Yeah. Yes.
Who do you call for something like that?
Well, there's a whole bunch of people. Where do you live? Aurora?
Aurora, yes.
So you know who does insulation out in your area is Mega Home Improvement.
Okay.
And so you could call them and get an estimate. And, you know, they don't come into the city per se, but out in the western burbs, they do. And so you're right in their wheelhouse out there. And I know for a fact that they have some subcontractors that they use that do the spray foam insulation, both in walls and attics. And then they also provide the conventional insulation as well if you wanted that.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you so much.
You got it. Happy holidays. I appreciate you calling this morning. 8:13 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. This is John in Oak Lawn. John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. I have a headset on.
No, no, I'm
working quickly. Lou, my question for you, love you, by the way. I've seen your live appearance over at Fox Lumber in Oak Lawn.
Oh, yeah. You're the guy that we told them to make sure you never come back, right?
Hopefully that's not me. But, yeah, great turnout.
Wasn't that guy's name John? Wasn't his name John Lindsay? We said, make sure John never comes back, right? He was, remember? He's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, how can I help you, John?
In my basement, I had installed a flooring. It's the vinyl flooring, not the square pieces. They're kind of long, about maybe 6 inches wide, maybe 2 feet long. They're four out. They're a waterproof floor where they just have a little sticky part on one side of it. We have to match the other side up to it.
Okay.
It looks like a hardwood floor.
Okay.
The reason I'm calling you is because half of the floor, it's not sticking properly. They're not staying together. I have to keep going over the top of it where it collects some kind of weight. But then a couple of days later, it comes up again. I was wondering if there's anything I could do to stop that from happening.
Did you just lay this floor?
No, this is about maybe a year and a half, 2 years old.
And you're not are you getting any moisture up from here?
No, I'm not.
Huh.
Not in the basement.
Hmm. And who put, did you put this floor down?
Yes, I did. I installed it.
Okay. And it was a peel and stick, or did you put a glue down?
It's not, when you say peel and stick, it's just, it's kind of a free-floating, they adhere to each other. It's just
it's a floating floor?
Yes.
Is it a loose lay vinyl? Is it Carndine? Is that what you put down?
It's a loose laid vinyl, yes.
Okay.
You gotta leave a little space around the outside area.
So it's got a little ribbing on the bottom.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it shouldn't be lifting up at all. The only thing that you've got to be getting some kind of moisture or there's something coming up from the bottom that's causing this stuff to lift. One thing that you may want to try is you can rent a floor roller, which is this heavy. It's like if you were going to roll dough, you know, if you were going to make bread, but it's got
a
long T handle. And what I would do is I would take that and roll that floor out to try and get it to lay down.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I was going to do next. I figured I'd just give you a call.
It's give that a shot. But I'm sorry?
It's not so much the edges at all. It's just the pieces where they stick to each other throughout the floor.
Right. Put this roller on there, rent it for a few hours, and roll that whole floor nice and easy to put that pressure down. And it's that pressure that should set it all so that it holds.
Great.
Okay, give that a shot. Appreciate you calling. Happy holidays. Thank you so much for calling. 8:16 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hooter than they are. Hotter than they are. Whew, it is warm in here.
Well, you have your coat on.
Yes. Oh, do I? How did that happen?
Because it's cold out?
Yes. Yes. It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say? Nipple. There is a nip in the air, though.
Christmas, Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. Christmas, Christmas time is here, the sleigh bells and the red-nosed deer. Songs and songs we love to hear, all played 1,000 times each year. Heard this same song
8:23 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Straight No Chaser. Chicago's very own Dan Ponce, a founding member of Straight No Chaser. They have a really nice... Did you not know that? Yeah. He's one of the founding members. I believe he still sings with them. He's on WGN-TV, morning news, early in the morning. Fine young man. Part of the Ponce dynasty that is in the news business here in Chicagoland. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Mike in... where are you, Mike? Crown Point?
I'm in Chicago.
Oh, you're in Chicago. Sorry. How are you, sir? How can I help you?
I'm good. I have an enclosed back porch,
And it hit, the house is real old, it's like 113 years.
Wow.
But it had acoustic tiles on the ceiling, and there was a leak, and I peeled one of them off, and it's got a real nice old tongue and groove ceiling underneath there.
Nice beadboard, so, like an old beadboard ceiling? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really old. This was probably outside at one time, or screened in.
Sure.
Anyway, after I peeled off the acoustic tiles, I now have about a 3/4 inch gap between the crown molding and the ceiling. And I'm trying to figure out what I should use to fill that gap in. I was thinking about using plaster, but there might be something easier.
Okay, so you have crown molding that went up
against
the acoustic
tiles,
and then now that crown molding is still there. Then you've got this beadboard ceiling that you'd like to keep, and you've got the gap.
Yeah, and if I try and take the crown molding down...
No. Here's what we're going to do. Yeah, here's what we're going to do. So you're going to buy some 3/4 inch 1x4.
Okay, 1x4.
And you're going to slide it into that gap, and you're going to create a little reveal. I mean, hopefully you've got 3.5 inches going back into the corner.
Yeah, if I peel out a remnant of the acoustic tile, it goes back pretty far,
okay.
I think.
Or you don't even need to do a 1x4. You could do a 1x2, because all I want you to do is give a little reveal, meaning that the edge, that square edge of the 1x2. The thing is, with
it'll be past the crown molding.
Correct, and you're gonna brad nail it or put a couple nails up into the ceiling to hold it in place.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna nail the crown molding to that. And are we going to paint the ceiling? What are we going to do?
Yeah, I'm probably going to paint it because I did the same thing out in the front. That
perfect.
Had a similar
then
thing.
You
out there. And it's really old and funky, but it looks real nice after you paint
it. So now you just get another little trim detail, which will look like it's always been there once you paint it.
Yeah, and attach that to the 1x2.
Correct. Now, the only thing you got to be careful of is when you go buy 1x2, that you don't buy 1x2 furring strip. Buy a 1x2 piece of
board.
Trim,
yeah.
So it's got a nice clean edge.
Yeah.
Because the furring strips have the rounded edge.
Okay. So instead of just filling that gap in with some kind of material,
we're going to
use wood.
Yeah, Mike, this will be a piece of cake. You know, you'll cut it to length and you'll slide it in there on a ladder, bang, bang, bang. You can either do it with trim nails, or if you've got a little nail gun, it would make such quick work of this that.
And then I got to miter the corners.
Well, not necessarily. You could miter it, or it could be a straight cut. If you're going to paint it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
It's up to you. It's how far you want to go.
Yeah, because the crown molding's mitered already.
Yeah.
But okay. Now, one more thing about ceiling, about attic insulation.
Sure.
I haven't. The old attic, the rafters are exposed, and you can see the second floor ceiling. Except I have insulation up there, but it's like really old. Okay, and I was going to add some insulation. Do I need to leave that space open between at the edges of the floor up there?
Where the floor meets the overhang?
Yeah.
Well, you need to put in insulation baffles, so if you have soffit vents, the air can still get up in there.
Yeah, I don't have soffit. I was just wondering because this house had, originally the house had, you know, all you had was an air space between the plaster and the outside wood.
Correct.
And I was wondering if you needed air to circulate up through that space.
No. If there's no venting, then no.
Okay. I get it. Because right now, if any air is in there, it would come up through that space and go up into the attic.
Correct.
And I don't need to worry about that.
You do not.
Okay.
Insulate away, my friend, and have a good time. Appreciate you calling this morning. 8:28 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Ding dong, ding dong. Can't you hear the bells go ding dong? Do you know why they're ringing? Do you know? Do you know why I'm singing? Well, you better get set for a big surprise. I'm gonna put you wise. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
If you're looking to buy a Christmas album, the Mel Torme Christmas album, which is Who This Is, is really good. What famous Christmas song did Mel Torme write?
What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
dashing. First recorded by Bing Crosby. In a one-horse open sleigh.
O'er the fields we go. What?
Laughing all the way. Ha, ha, oh, yeah, how about that? Bells on Bob. First person that can tell me the famous song that Mel Torme wrote. We'll send you, we'll get you a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's Pizzeria, one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. I'm looking for this specific song. 591-7000, the first person that's going to tell me what famous song did Mel Torme write. Huh? It is. Yes, very good. So call 591-7000, the first person with that answer, $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. It's a great Christmas album, but that particular song I'm looking for, it will win you a $25 gift certificate. 312-591-7000 on our contest line. Joining me in the studio right now, it's been an annual event, Paul Hammond, who's the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Lou.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
I know I say this every year, but I'm tired of interviewing you. I really wish you didn't have to do what you did.
So do we. We wish we would be out of business.
I know. But you're celebrating your 40th anniversary of the Knight Ministry.
That's right. Next year, we'll mark the 40th anniversary of the Knight Ministry. 40 years of providing housing, health care, and human connection to the poor and homeless on the streets here in Chicago.
I really wish that this would get better. And the thing is that while you and I get a chance to talk every year, this time of year, the need is 24/7, 365 days a year.
It certainly is. Yes, the need does not go away after the holidays are finished. The need is here throughout the year. We see numbers largely increase during the summertime when more people tend to be on the streets and not seeking shelter because of the weather.
Right.
Our health outreach bus is out 7 days a week providing health care to those who need it. One's health is not dependent upon the holiday season.
Mm. Your services, are they primarily in Chicago or all over Chicagoland?
We are only in Chicago. Okay. Our health outreach bus serves five different neighborhoods 5 nights a week. And then we have shelters. We have 4 different shelter programs for homeless youth in the city of Chicago.
What about the suburbs?
Because
this problem is not... This is not just a Chicago problem.
This is not just a Chicago problem. This is a national concern. Right. So the suburbs do have several very, very good programs, especially the PADS programs that are out in the northwest suburbs. And the suburbs have really seen recently a larger increase in the number of homeless families.
I have all this information in front of me that you guys provided. And the thing that is striking to me, you know, we're driving in this morning. Mike Stephen on his show was talking with... a writer who writes about the fact that Chicago Teachers Union is, you know, authorized a strike, right. You know, 80% of their members voted and 90 some percent said, yeah, we're going to strike. And so, you know, obviously the Chicago Public Schools are forefront in the news and what's going to happen. And, you know, the negotiations back and forth. There's a stat here that says, and you said this number is higher, but this says there are more than 22,000 registered students who are experiencing homelessness in the Chicago public school system.
Yes. Those are students who have been identified.
Those are ones that you know about.
The ones that are known about that are registered as what we call STLS, students in temporary living situations, which means that they on a nightly basis do not have a safe and stable place to spend the evening. There's 24,000 in the Chicago Public School District that we know about. And those are students who are then linked up with services within the public schools. Some of them come to our shelters, are referred by their counselors to our shelters for homeless youth. Others are homeless with families, living in family shelters. Others are what we call SOS, surfing on sofas. So maybe a couple nights with this friend's home and then a couple more nights at another friend's home, but eventually do end up without a place to spend the evening, without a place to spend the night.
Stinks.
It stinks. It absolutely stinks.
How are these kids who are trying to go to school going to learn anything when they don't even know where they're going to sleep that night or eat or whatever?
Well, that's just it. Homelessness impacts educational outcomes. So a young person cannot study or be focused on their schoolwork if they are not don't know where they'll be spending the evening or their next meal is coming from. And right now we're working with a very interesting partnership with Old St. Pat's Church and North Lawndale College Prep High School to develop a shelter, a home for youth who are at North Lawndale College Prep High School who are homeless. So we've been working with this project now for about a year and a half and hope to have a pilot project of 8 beds opened up in the North Lawndale area, specifically for students next September. And as far as we know, this will be the only program like it in the country that actually has shelter beds related or linked to a specific school. And the whole purpose is to be able to provide them with a safe and stable place to spend the spend the night on a long-term basis so that their educational outcomes can be improved.
This is, you are not a you're not a faith-based organization.
We
even
are not.
Though the word ministry's there. Right.
That harkens back to our roots,
right.
Founded by 17 congregations on the north side.
Right.
Instead of being faith-based, because that's such a politically laden term,
yeah,
I prefer
right.
to say that we are faith-valued. So
right.
everybody who supports our work understands that we all have a mandate to reach out and to help our fellow community members
right.
who are in need in some shape or form.
You've been the CEO of the Knight Ministry and president for how long?
8 years.
And the need is great. I know for your organization,
right.
but if you could wave your magic wand, I mean, other than to, you know, to the thing that, oh, we would never have this problem again. What is it that you guys need? If there was one thing that you're like, gosh, if we could do this, we could do so much if we had this. Is it a pile of money? Is it a fleet of buses? Is it 500 more volunteers? What is that star on the top of the tree?
Well, that star on the top of the tree, of course, is always finances,
right.
Because we have a budget of about $6.1 million that we need to raise every year. And in order to increase services, you need to have increased funding. I think for us also, it is an increased ability to provide a bigger continuum of services for individuals.
Mm.
So not only those who are on the streets, but those who are in shelters, and be able to provide them with safe and stable next step housing. So 70% of our young people who come through our shelters do move on to safer, more stable housing than what they were experiencing when they first came to us.
Right.
But to be able to have some kind of an organized program out in the community where young people can have housing as, for example, a next step. I think also, too, it'd be along the lines of prevention. I mean, a lot of homelessness can be prevented for both adults and young people, and to have a coordinated system that really focuses on prevention so that individuals no longer even end up on the streets to begin with.
I have to imagine that for children, when they're homeless, if they're left to their own devices, it's got to be so difficult for them to admit it or cop to the fact that they are in this situation. Perhaps they don't even know they're in the situation. And so it has to be so difficult for your organization to identify them, A, find them, B, mm-hmm. and then even probably to administer the help.
Right. So a lot of young people whom we work with come to us for assistance, or they're referred to us for assistance. But we all know that adolescents, they want to be part of the group. They don't want to be identified as being different. So a lot of young people don't even associate themselves as being homeless because they don't picture themselves as being the adult who's on the street, maybe with a grocery cart. But yet they don't have any place safe to go at night. Young people oftentimes tell us that they have to wear these different masks in order to survive socially with their peers. When they're with their peers, they've got on their happy mask, their mask they're holding it all together emotionally. But when they're not with their friends, then they're able to let their guard down. So it is very, very difficult because not only are they homeless, but they're also adolescents facing all that normal adolescent stuff
right.
that we all had to face and was difficult for us to face when we ourselves were stably housed. So imagine dealing with all that adolescence, I can always call it gunk, whether it be
right.
hormones or social pressures, and be homeless at the same time and not have a safe and stable supportive environment to be able to help you.
Mm. I know that these days when it comes to donating to charity organizations and or organizations that help, you know, people are they're very focused on making sure that the amount of money that they give goes to the cause.
Right.
Right. And I know that there's some websites that people can go to say this organization spends X amount of dollars on I mean, are you guys, are you in the positive on all that?
Oh, we're in the positive. About 18, only about 18 cents out of every dollar goes to support administration and fund development.
Right.
So that means about 82 cents out of every dollar goes directly to programs.
Right.
But even with programs, what we're trying to help donors understand that, you know, it's important to be able to train staff.
Sure.
Because
right.
Well-trained staff are what produce great outcomes with young right. people and adults who are on the streets. So, and last time I looked, insurance and electricity to keep the lights on are not four-letter words. So
right.
all those type of supportive costs are vitally important to be able to cover. But like I said, 82 cents out of every dollar That's goes great. Directly to programs.
That's great. All right, Paul, we want to get you some money for this thing. How do people donate? They want to help out your organization, the Knight Ministry. Where do they go? How do they donate?
Well, if someone wants to financially support us, the easiest thing they can do is go to our website, www.theknightministry.org. And I always say it's night as in nighttime. So theknightministry.org, and can click on donate now or donate here. And they can make an online donation securely. But again, we need those donations throughout the year.
Sure.
And for us, a big donate, if somebody wants to donate something else besides money that we can use on the streets with the adults and homeless with whom we work, there's always a great need for deodorant. Have a deodorant drive, or you can go to our website and find our address, 4711 North Ravenswood here in Chicago, 60640, and ship us a case of deodorant through Amazon.com. It's that simple.
Wow.
Those are things that are very much needed that a lot of times people don't think about. But we can use that type of item throughout the year, or diapers for our shelter that serves.
Do you have a list on your website of things you're in need for? So if someone wanted to go there, they could go right now and get another Amazon Prime and say, ship it right to you.
Exactly.
Here's the address.
Exactly. And we also have a wish list on Amazon as well.
Sure.
So we always have that updated list on our website.
That's great. God, that's great when that technology can work for the good.
It
I love it.
Works great, yes. And our number of online donations have increased significantly over the course of the last 3 years. So we see the power of that technology mm-hmm. and being able to reach people we wouldn't be able to reach.
Do you guys have a system in place? Like, I know that at our parish, you know, we do this thing called Parish Pay, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, as a member of the finance council, we try to get as many people on this as possible, right? And so the idea is that you sign up for this, Parish Pay program mm-hmm. and... or Give Central, I think it's mm-hmm. called now. And you set up a donation every week, and it just right. tags your credit card every week. And so the donation goes. You don't have to bring the envelope or whatever. Do you have anything like that?
We do. In fact, we call it our Beacons of Hope program, where individuals can contribute to us monthly.
Great.
So on the first of the month, we charge their credit card whatever amount they have
$20
or
$50.
$50.
If you're $5,000, yes. it'd be great if you wanted to do that.
So yes, it's called our Beacons of Hope program, and they can contact our office at 773-784-9000 and ask to be signed up for that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Paul Hammond, he's the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. It's always a pleasure to see you every year. But you know what I want to do? I want to make sure that we do this as well. You know, we talk about the need. So let's make sure that we talk again in June.
That would be great.
Okay.
Yes, that would be
great. Because I'm happy to talk to you during that time of year as well, and we'll make sure that we make that happen. We'll put all this information up on our website. We'll put all this information up on our Facebook page, and there's a lot of really wonderful organizations to help in the world, and you are one of them.
Thank you.
So I hope that people donate and give what they can and try and help these kids that are out in the street and need our help the most. We talk about kids being our future, and boy, we got to just give them a place to sleep at night.
That's where it starts.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Thanks for
Thank
coming in.
Thank you, Lou,
in.
Very much. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Appreciate you. It's 8:52 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. Rob Hart is wiggling in his chair. He's so excited. We were able to get a guest celebrity interviewer to join us quickly on the air just for a few minutes, shifting gears here. The pride and joy of Notre Dame College Prep, Adon, our son Max Manfredini. Hello, Max.
Hey, guest celebrity.
That's you. You're the guest celebrity. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good.
Now, we didn't get a chance to speak last night. You are, just so we tell the audience, you are a 14-year-old freshman at Notre Dame High School.
Yes, that's correct.
You just finished your finals, first round of finals in your life, and it went well.
Yep.
Congratulations. And last night, you and a bunch of your buddies, name all your buddies so you don't get in trouble, went to see Star Wars. Who went?
My friends Alex Johnson, Ethan Ryan, and Riley Newton.
All right.
Went to go see Star Wars The Force Awakens.
And your review as a 14-year-old young man seeing Star Wars, what did you think?
I loved it. Everything about it, actually.
Everything about it. What? Yeah. Don't give anything away, because there's a lot of people that haven't seen it. Did you like the story? Were there cute girls? What was it?
Well, there were a lot of great ways how they revealed the old characters. A lot of surprising new things.
All right, don't give it away.
I promise I won't.
All right, and you were on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Yes, I was.
All right, so we need to come up with a rating system for you, Max. You know, now most people, like a lot of these people, do like 4 stars or, I mean, what could we have that would be your rating system? What would you give it?
Well, if I had a 1 out of 10, I would say Star Wars.
You would say 10?
Yeah, but I would also say Star Wars.
All right, so you highly recommend it.
I highly recommend it.
And how many more times do you think you're going to see it?
Well, as many as I can.
All right, we're going to need to get you a little part-time job to pay for all this.
Yeah. I'm thinking about babysitting.
Yeah, right. Okay, he's available. Lindsay's raising her hand. She has 2 little children available to babysit.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for your review. I know you have a very busy day. Thank you for slotting us in, our celebrity reviewer. I think it's the first reviewer we've had on the radio, on the Mr. Fix-It Show, right?
Absolutely. Best one.
The best one, of course. So, Max, have a great day. I'll see you later on, all right? There you go. He's off. He's off. He's very busy.
He says bye.
He said bye.
He's off to the 9:20 showing. I mean, they're showing it like 24 hours a day, you
know? No! It's unbelievable. Rob Hart's going to go see it again.
Now, not to spoil anything, but the opening crawl is Episode 7, New to Lou 2, as it goes into space.
I didn't want to tell anybody that until they got there.
It was a closely guarded secret.
Yeah, yeah, that is funny. All right, well, there you go. There's Max's review. It's 1 out of 10. It's a Star Wars. He didn't even use the 10. He just said Star Wars. Go see it.
Like 5 star. Instead of 5 stars, it's 5 Star Wars.
There you go.
Or 10. I'm sorry, 10 Star Wars.
Exactly. Quick break, and then we'll get to news right after this.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. As your nose.
The song that Mel Torme wrote was this. He was a young songwriter. And this is Judy Garland.
Being sung by,
and the winner is Judy.
Folks,
right? Judy Garland and Mel Torme singing
like
Christmas song. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware. I have a recording of Bing Crosby singing this song that talks about the fact that this new L.A. songwriter Mel Torme wrote the brand new song, and I think it was the debut when Bing Crosby first performed it. And look at how, well, my gosh, it's one of the most recognizable Christmas songs ever. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be joined in studio by Stephen Johnny, who hosted overnights here on WGN Radio for over 25 years, also part of inducted last year into the, or this year rather, into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. They have a brand new book out called A Little More Less: Conversations, Photos, Memories with a Treasured Friendship They Had with a Legendary Les Paul. We're going to talk about that book, their friendship, who Les Paul is, and the kind of influence that he had on the music industry coming up in just a bit. But right now I want to get to your phone calls. This is Janet in Geneva. Janet, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. How can I help you?
This will be my Christmas present, getting on with you. First time I've ever called radio station.
Wow. We'll try and be gentle.
Anyway, I spent many thousands of dollars installing a raised paver patio and walkway and all sorts of things around my house. And when it got cold, I took everything in, and it's beautiful. It was beautiful work. And about a month ago, I started noticing in one corner that there were some stains, and there had never been anything there, or there hadn't been anything there when they appeared. And I had some friends over a few days ago that do building, and they said, well, I think it's from leaves. Did you have it sealed? And I said, no, I didn't think, you know, I'm not a pro at that.
Right.
And they said, well, I think leaves can stain it. So is there anything that will take the stain out, or do I have to have... I walk out on it now, and my eye goes immediately.
Right, I know. It's like a chip in a countertop. Right. So, no, leaves will stain.
Yeah, and I wasn't told that, or I would have removed them right away,
right,
you know.
Right.
And I'd like to have it sealed also.
Yeah.
But should the guy maybe... take out those pavers that are stained first?
When did we have this done?
In August.
Okay, so we can still, so since it's still pretty mild out, I mean, today it's not, but, you know, we're going to have some mild weather even next week.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is take a little mild cleaner. One thing that works really well is OxyClean, you know, the powdered cleaner.
Right.
Mix that with some warm water. Get a small scrub brush. You can either go down on your hands and knees, or you can put put it on a pole.
Mm-hmm.
Put that down, scrub it, let it sit there for a little bit as it oxygenates, you know.
Right.
And then scrub a little more and rinse it, and that stain should come out. Do it sooner than later.
Right, great.
Then in the spring, you can't seal it now, it's too cold.
Right, right. Figured that.
They can come and pressure wash it all, get it nice and clean. If there are any damaged bricks that the stains just can't come out of, those few could be replaced. I assume you have a couple extra ones laying around.
No, I don't.
No? Well, then maybe talk to the bricklayer about getting you half a dozen or so.
They did come and repair about 2 months ago. It wasn't quite level in one quarter, so the water wasn't draining. And they repaired that beautifully.
Yeah, that's part of the beauty of the brick, is that they can fix areas and put it back, and it looks great. So,
yeah, because it's, you know, several colors, but... I mean, you know, it's not solid color, but I know next door they have a paper patio and they redid part of it once and that doesn't match the rest. So.
You will get some changing of the color of that brick. It's going to be, you know, it's not always going to be the same color because it's just naturally going to change from the organic material that's out there. The other thing you've heard me talk about, a product called Wet and Forget, which is a great cleaner you can put down on that, or, you know, years down the road. But I'd get out there with the OxyClean now, give it a nice scrubbing, and then plan on having it sealed in the spring, and you should be okay. Hold on a second. I want to send you out an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland indoor comfort, American Weather Makers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com. 9:14 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Calling the North Pole.
This is Santa.
Let's see if we have Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, Santa Claus.
The North Pole.
Oh.
If you'd like to speak to Santa, press 1.
Okay, hold on a second.
If you'd like to speak to Mrs. Claus, press 2.
No, maybe that'd be good.
If you'd like to speak to Santa Claus.
Oh, there we go.
Press 1.
1, yeah. Hold on, this probably...
Please leave a message after the... It gets them every time.
That is too funny. Hey, by the way, how would you like to be front and center to all the action at a Chicago Blackhawks game? Now you could be. We've got your chance to win glass seat tickets to the January 12th game against Nashville and get a ride on the ice. Enter to win the WGNRadio.com/events, sponsored by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. 9:19 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN Radio. Joining me in the studio, I would say that they are as legendary as the person we're going to talk about in the book, Steve and Johnny. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Lou.
So nice to have you guys here.
Oh, thank you
for
having
me. So nice to be had.
It's so nice to be had. Merry Christmas to both of
you.
Thank
you, Lou.
I know you guys are going to be filling in. People are going to get to hear you on WGN. Tell everybody about that.
Oh, we're going to be back on Christmas Eve from 1 until 4 in the afternoon, and then on New Year's Eve. In fact, I just realized as we were driving down here, this New Year's Eve... Actually, Christmas Eve will mark the 31st anniversary
for Steve
of the first time that I was on this radio station.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Valentine's is my 31st anniversary.
Wow.
And then we're going to be doing a New Year's Eve spectacular From
we call that
10
our
at night till 2 in the morning.
That's our cheap date, Life After Dark, New Year's Eve extravaganza. No cover charge and no dress code, so you can come naked for all we care.
Wow, that's going to be a party. Lindsay, put me down.
Are you there? Okay.
In my New Year's birthday suit.
Baby New Year.
You two have had a long, fruitful career on the radio. Something else, Steve, and you as well, Johnny, you've been very involved in music,
right?
Your whole life,
right?
I always think about you in particular. The news about the new inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all mm-hmm. these musicians. Certainly, some bands from Chicago were recognized this year. There's the band Chicago, Cheap Trick, others as well. I know there's what's the group NWA from California.
Here's a quick bit of trivia: the band Chicago. Peter Cetera, who sang lead with Chicago for a long time, used to be my bass player.
Really?
Yeah.
100 years ago.
Really? Yep. Interesting. Well, I was a huge fan of theirs. I think most people from the area were as well. You, too, you have this book that you've recently written, A Little More Less. I mentioned this beforehand. Conversations, Photos, and Memories from a Treasured Friendship with the Legendary Les Paul. Before we talk about the book, I want you to talk a little bit from with your music cap on. What did Les Paul? I mean, there's got to be people listening that have no idea who he is, right? I mean,
absolutely, because they think he's a guitar.
Correct, and he's a person, but he created with his own hands.
Les Paul was one of the pioneers of the electric guitar. He also, without Les Paul, you wouldn't have multi-track recording.
A lot of the stuff we have in the studio right now would have. Well, eventually would have been invented, but he was responsible for it.
Right.
You know, multi-tracking, dubbing, reverb, all of the terms that you use in a recording studio. Mm-hmm. He first said, let me try this.
You mentioned Bing Crosby a little while ago. Bing Crosby was friends with Les Paul. Bing Crosby gave Les his first Ampex tape recorder. It took about 2 days for Les to say, you know, if I add another head to this thing, I can do multiple layer recordings.
Was he an engineer?
He was just a brilliant man, starting as a child. His mother was his biggest fan. And everybody said, well, of course your mother's your biggest fan.
Right.
But it was a different kind of relationship because she saw the genius in him. Mm-hmm. So when he said, Mom, I need a pick for this guitar, well, what do you need, son? He said, well, a key on the piano. We'll take the key off the piano and shave it down if that's what you need.
Yeah, you, Mr. Fix-It, would have really loved Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the story he told, his brother would walk into a room, turn on the light and say, oh, well, there's a light.
Right.
Les would walk into a room, flick the light switch, and said, what made that do that?
Yeah, that's how I am.
And that's
it drives my wife crazy.
As a little boy.
Okay, so let's talk about Les Paul's influence on the electric guitar. Did he invent the electric guitar?
He was one of the pioneers. There were several people who were working on this at the same time.
Give me a time frame. What year are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking...
The 40s, he first gave his prototype for the electric guitar.
Right.
He knew he wanted a guitar that people could hear in the back of an auditorium.
Okay.
And it wasn't just the electric guitar. It was the solid body
electric guitar.
Right. A guitar that gives you more sustain. And he had gone to Gibson Guitars with, as Gibson used to talk to him as this kid with the broomstick, because it looked like a broomstick with strings on it.
Right.
And when...
And Gibson at the time was building acoustic guitars.
Right.
That's all there was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when finally, after Leo Fender, who was also friends with Les... He started getting some movement with the Fender guitar, and Gibson said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we had a guy that did this. So they went back to Les and said, excuse me, can we talk again? And the Les Paul guitar was born.
Now, as a guitar player, I'm not. You are. Guitars have a specific sound, right? Mm-hmm. Certain manufacturers of guitars have different sounds, and artists are famous for, right, I mean, what little I know, the Fender Stratocaster, right? That's a, was that a Jimi Hendrix guitar, is that right?
Hendrix, for the most part, did play a Stratocaster.
Right, and so, go ahead.
The Les Paul is the most popular rock and roll electric guitar out there.
It is, and it is the most successful signature guitar ever.
Ever.
tell me some artists that would use that, that people would know, that use a Les Paul.
Oh.
Clapton.
Chuck Berry. Clapton initially did, although yeah. he segued to a
Keith
Stratocaster.
Richards.
Keith Richards, sure. And did I mention Chuck Berry?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck and
it's a heavy guitar. That's one thing. Tommy Shaw does a piece in our book from Styx, and Tommy's not a big guy. And he says, you know, I walk, the stripes of my shirt are crooked because I've held that Les Paul on stage for so many years that my body's a little
really?
Off center.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another name you would know, Charlie Daniels, only will use Les Paul guitars.
Really?
In fact, there's a story in our book. Charlie was nice enough to write a piece for our book. When Charlie was in the studio with us, we started talking about guitars. And at that time, he thought Les was dead. And he said, you know, it's a shame that I never got to meet Les while
kidding.
He was alive.
No. And he was sitting next to me, so where you are is where Steve is sitting.
Mm-hmm. And I nodded to Johnny and said, you know, keep him talking. And I very quietly said to our producer, get Les on the phone.
No kidding.
I said, we're going to take a phone call. Les comes on. So is this the guy who took his fiddle down to Georgia and fought the devil? And Charlie, you should have seen the look on his face. He was blown away. Long story short, he had his tour bus parked right outside the Tribune Tower. He had a couple days off. Left the studio, hopped in the bus, drove to New York, was on stage with Les the next Monday night. And there's a picture in the book. You never see Charlie Daniels without his hat. Out of respect for Les Paul, his hat is off and that picture is in the book.
Wow.
And it's a picture of pure joy. I mean, they're just so happy.
Where did you two first meet him?
As a result of, I don't know if you remember Mike Rapchick.
I do not.
Who was on this radio station, a terrific guy. He was on this radio station for a long time. We tuned in one night and we heard Mike talking to Les. And I've been a Les Paul geek since.
Right.
Since you were a little boy, your album. This is Steve's original Les Paul album he got when he was like six.
Wow.
That was a while back, and it's in the book, the picture's in the book.
So we came in and talked to Mike and said, do you think, would you mind sharing Les Paul's phone number? He did. We had Les on, and it very quickly developed from a guest host relationship to a genuine friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Les would call us up at home, and we were so fortunate to get to know this wonderful man and had a great relationship with him for a good 18 years.
Well, with your knowledge of music, you know the names Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Sure.
Because they were Grammy winners.
Sure,
and they sold millions of records back in the 50s. And we realized early on that Les kind of saw he and Mary in us.
Nice.
Because he would even give us advice, and we put the advice in the book when he would say, now you kids have to understand that working together is one thing, but you've got to leave it. You've got to have a life.
Right.
Because they divorced in the 60s because he wanted to keep working.
Right.
And she wanted to raise a family.
Right.
Didn't want to be on the road all the time. And he was happiest when he was on the road or on the stage. The cover of the book, he's 90 years old, and that picture, that's his happy place. He's on the stage at the Club Iridium, which he did two shows a night till the day he died at 94. He would have been 100 this year.
Wow. And if you look at the picture on his hands, you can see he has crippling arthritis.
And two hearing aids, which is crazy because he was working with Shure microphones when he passed away, developing a new and improved hearing aid.
He'd had quintuple bypass. And long story short, do you need to break or
no,
time
keep
for a quick
going.
Story? It was in the 50s. Les and Mary were returning from a gig, car crash. Les wakes up in the hospital, two doctors over him. You got a broken elbow. One doctor is saying, we got to take your arm off. The other doctor fortunately recognizes it's Les Paul and says, he kind of needs that. So they said, okay, we'll be able to fix your arm. We're taking a bone from another part of his body, but your elbow will only be in one position. You won't be able to move your arm out. He thought about it. He said, okay, aim my index finger at my belly button. I said, why? That way he could still play guitar because he could move his wrist.
Right.
He had to
slide
reteach
the guitar.
Himself
right,
how to play
right
guitar.
Into where it needed
right
to go.
Right into his arm.
Right.
And so his hand would be right there in the front.
Let's talk about this picture of you kissing him right on the lips on the back cover. What is going on there?
Well,
I don't think. Now, I don't know Les Paul, but he looks very happy.
Oh,
he
was.
Loves Lou.
As he said, on that occasion and other occasions, he said, I may be in my 90s, but I'm not dead.
He's not dead.
Oh, yes. He loved women, and he would jokingly say, look at the guitar. How is it shaped? It's shaped like a woman. Why do you think I played a guitar from the time I was six?
Well, he sounds like a wonderful man, and it sounds like you two had a great relationship with him. And
he's the only person in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Inventors Hall of Fame. He's side by side with Edison in the Inventors Hall of Fame. He's in the Engineers. He's in the Songwriters. He's in 14 Hall of Fames in this country, which is a crazy, crazy thing.
And won his first Rock and Roll Grammy when he was 90.
The book is a little more less. WGN radio legends Steve King and Johnny Putnam put this book together, Conversations, Photos, and Memories with Their Treasured Friendship with the Legendary Les Paul. The foreword is by Duane Eddy, also a Grammy winner. And we have a little Mr. Fix-It special, which I love doing. I love doing this. So here's the thing. You can go to the website A Little More Less, and that's L-E-S. So A Little More Less, one S. You could buy one book for $20, or you could buy two books for $35. They're normally $26.95 each. You're looking for some last-minute Christmas gift ideas. You want to read a terrific book with great stories. This is the one. A Little More Less by Steve King and Johnny Putnam. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming
you.
In.
Thank you
for Merry Christmas.
This is the first to be on
And
the...
remind the listeners when we're going to hear you on this air.
Yes.
We'll be back here on Christmas Eve from
Thursday?
1 until 4 in the afternoon, and mm-hmm. then on New Year's Eve from about right after the Hawks game, 10 or 10:30 at night till the 2 in the morning.
And something about naked.
Yes.
You said something
New Year's Eve, you know, the big city extravaganza is right here on
the river, right
in front of us.
That's
for the
great.
First time ever. And this is going to be our 21st Cheap Date Life After Dark
That's
New
awesome.
Year's Eve extravaganza.
Thank you, too, for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you, Lou.
All right.
Merry
Christmas. Rob Hart, we're going to take a quick break and get to your news right after this.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Yes, you do. But all you have to do is text us on Just Text Me, but never text and drive. Lindsay.
What?
Never text and drive.
Don't text and drive. What are you looking at me for?
Was I not in the Luber yesterday and you read something? I go, what are you doing?
Okay, one, we were at a stop sign.
Okay.
Two.
What do you do when I'm not in the
I
car?
I was taking a call that I could not.
Okay, see?
Okay.
In the Luber.
In the Luber that I did
That's
not
funny.
Want you to hear.
That is funny. I got to just, from now on, when you pick me up, I'm going to sit in the back seat so it truly is
Please.
Like a Luber. Right. Spread it
I
up.
I have mints back there and everything.
You have little bottles of water. Yeah. That would be good too.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
So nice to see Steve and Johnny. It's great. They sounded great.
They
look
age?
Great. They look fantastic. And I just love the whole historical, something you said. You love the fact that they have all this trivia and knowledge. And, they're so integrated into the music scene
mm-hmm.
That, I have not gotten a chance to read the entire book. I've just read some passages. But it's this really nice, genuine friendship that they had. And if you're a music buff or just want to read a good story, then you got to pick up this book, A Little More or Less. And you can find it at alittlemoreless.com. And there's a Mr. Fix-It special.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I love those behind-the-scenes
Yeah,
stories.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. All right, what do you have for us?
Okay, so let's see. 630, Lou, I have a 100-plus-year-old house with a cold small room.
Have you noticed that we've gotten a bunch of calls and now texts from people that have 100-year-old homes? That's the third one today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know you're listening to BBM because you want to know the traffic, but yes.
I'm very busy in here.
I know you are. Okay, go ahead.
This phone does not stop ringing.
I know.
I have a 100-year-plus-old home. Whatever. 100-plus-year-old home with a cold small room, 8x14-ish, off the kitchen. Might have been a porch. What is the best way to insulate it?
Well, okay. So I don't know, what the finish is, but really the spray foam insulation is really the best way to insulate because it covers every nook and cranny and will stop any infiltration of air. Depending on how much you need to do, you could do this yourself. What was the product we were? Touch and Foam. Touch and Foam. You can buy the kit at one of the big boxes that's colored orange because it's not available in other places. But they have this two-canister kit that you can do yourself. It comes with everything you need. And depending on how much you have to do, I believe that kit's about It's either $199 or $299. I think it's $199, but don't quote me. You could buy a couple of these kits and you could easily do a porch. You'll be amazed.
Amazed.
How well it insulates.
Nice. 630. No. 773. I have a one-handle bathroom faucet that's hard to operate. It's very stiff. I've used Lime Away without success. Please advise.
Okay. So a single-handle faucet, a lot of times what happens is there is a retaining ring on the base of it below the handle that can actually get tightened up every time you use it. So the first thing I will tell you is to take apart the handle. If you can, with the water turned off below, remove the entire cartridge out of there and clean it all up. You can use some CLR and spray it inside there and clean it all up. And then when you put it back on there, that little trim piece that you tighten, okay, this is the trick. There's something called Permatex Thread Lock. There's a blue and a red. You want the blue. Before you screw that down there on the threads, you're going to squirt a little of this blue thread lock on there. Look at, you're amazed. You didn't believe me. You Googled it, and there it came up, didn't it? I'm not making this stuff up.
Well, yeah, I mean, Permatex thread lock.
And did it come up?
Yeah.
Okay. So the blue, you don't want the red because red's permanent. If you put it on there, you'd have to put a torch to loosen it. But now when you tighten that excussion on there and you get it tightened, it's like, wow, it works great. Put the blue on there, wipe it away, don't touch it for 24 hours. Then it won't keep tightening every time you use it, and it'll be problem-free. And then if you ever needed to get it off, you could still loosen you have to grab it and kind of, it's called cracking the nut, so you just kind of break the seal, but then it'll come off, and if you ever had to change the cartridge or the faucet, you could do it.
Wow. Where do you store it all?
In my head.
I mean, where did you just pull that word out of?
Permatex?
Permatex. It's thread locker.
Right. Well, but my father, who was a mechanic, used Permatex thread lock all the time. And that's what he called it. My dad also called it a sandwich, not a sandwich. So it took me, when I was a kid, I used to call it, I want a sandwich with a G. But he was an immigrant, you know. I mean, he had a different, you know, he didn't learn the language like, and it was sandwich. It took me a long time before I got to sandwich.
Do you say roof or rough?
Well, I'm very conscious of that because of Chris Russomano, who is the audio engineer for House Smarts, who says I always say roof. So I'm very conscious of it.
Like Who Let the Dogs Out?
Right. So I'm it's not a rough. I'm always saying roof because he makes fun of me.
Roof.
Right.
Roof.
The roof is on fire.
The roof is on fire.
We don't
fire.
Need no water. Oh, no. Never mind.
815. Can you retell the fix for water pipes hammering?
Oh, my gosh. We should just record this.
I know. Well, you haven't done this one in a while, and this is a common question. People, you know, sometimes me being a homeowner, you're not listening, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh.
Can I tell you something? And this is the honest truth. I was thinking about this today when I was in the shower.
Hammering pipes?
No.
Oh.
How is you had the guys redo the water piping at your house for the water, because you had terrible water pressure.
We did.
And is it, how long have you been in the house now?
Fixed. It was the fix. The
it's
magic
great,
fix.
Right?
Repipe specialists. They're fantastic.
Did you put in the shower head yet that I gave you as a housewarming gift?
No. Lou, it's on my list. I can't do it all. I'm one woman.
That is so what about your one husband?
Who?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the water pipe fix. Turn off the main. If you have water hammer in your house, this is for anybody listening. This has a really good chance of working. But you have to listen exactly what I say. You're going to turn the main water valve off. You're going to open every faucet in the house, even the outside faucets. And you're going to flush every toilet. And you're going to wait till all that water stops draining. So if you have a basement sink or a sink way up high, all that has to open up. I need all that water out of the system. Then you're going to go close all those valves. And you're going to slowly turn the main water valve back up, and it's going to fill up. You're going to hear a big rush of water. Then you're going to go to every faucet, and you're going to turn it on, and it's going to spit and sputter. You may have to take the aerators off because it's going to loosen up sediment in there, and you're going to move all those valves around. There are compression chambers. There are pipes that go to nowhere that end that are there to take that water hammer away. You're actually replacing the air in the system, not taking it out. and that should solve your water hammer problem.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
That's all for on this week's Just Text Me.
There you
sponsored
go.
By...
No one yet, but it should be. And remember, don't text and drive.
No, I want an official red undercover knife. Do you want to get ready by the laser rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, oh, oh. 9:51 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And you know what? Ann in Lake in the Hills.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
And do you know what?
What?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, I hope he comes to my house.
I know. What are you? What would you like? What's on your list?
A new furnace would be great.
Oh, Santa's going to bring you a new furnace. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. Well, we can talk to Santa about that. That's a lot to get down the chimney, but you know he's magical.
Daddy is.
How can I help you?
I'd like to know if it's possible to put a high-efficiency furnace in my home. I live in a townhouse. I'm in between two units, and the furnace is on the second floor in an interior room.
Okay.
And I know there's, like, side venting, or I was kind of reading about
now
that.
Now, on your furnace on the second floor, what's above you?
There is an attic, and then it vents out through the attic, through the roof.
Okay. So have you ever been up in that attic?
Yes.
And is it an attic you can stand in?
No, it's just, you know, like that 2x4, I guess you'd say.
No. But in other words, if you're up there, can you stand up?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's tall.
Yes.
Okay. So a high efficiency furnace, since you have it on the second floor, they could, depending on how long of a run it is, in theory, it could go in that mechanical room and vent just like it's venting with the existing venting you have, with a different kind of vent, though, up through the attic and out through the roof.
Okay. All right. Great. So, I thought it was only side venting that they could...
No. They can vent vertically as well. But again, there's a certain distance, so it would have to be, you know, you'd have to get a furnace contractor to come out and do the calculations, but it absolutely is possible.
Okay, great. And then what would you think the cost would be like for a high efficiency, like a 90% with a humidifier?
And a new AC?
Well, I'm not doing that right now. That would be, you know, later.
Okay, so if we're going to do that later and just do the furnace high efficiency, you're probably talking, it depends on the maker that you use, but you're in furnace only high efficiency, I'd say you'd be anywhere from $4,500 to $6,500.
Okay.
And
great.
Then when you add if you did the air, it's probably another $2,500.
Okay. Lou, thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 9:54 in the morning. We'll be right back. We were getting bands to send us stuff. We can't remember what band this is. This is some high school band. We're using this music for our Lou's Last Call music today. Al, in Schaumburg, you're our last caller. You're the last caller for 2015 on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Well, how about that?
So when we're done, I'm going to send you, I want you to hang on because we're going to send you out a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew t-shirt. Courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. How can I help you, sir?
Very good. Thank you very much for that. We have a place up north, a summer home, and we've developed a little mold problem. It's not bad, but we're trying to keep it in check right away, and we've taken steps to put a humidifier down there, dehumidifier down there,
yeah.
But we're not up there enough, and it accumulates moisture when we're not there. And we can't keep that thing running all day. I don't know if there's some that have timers or whatever. But they've told us about a mold bomb. And I'd like to set one of those off, but I don't know what it does for your furniture because we close it down for the winter.
All right. Where is this mold problem happening? In the basement?
Starting in the basement. Now I'm starting to see a little bit eking up some greenish on the wall going up from the stairs.
Wow.
Downstairs.
That's not good. Okay, there is a mold fogger that you can use. Oh, my gosh, this is, we were just talking. We have, after the first of the year, we have a new sponsor who's sponsoring our last call, and they make a mold fogger. I met with these guys. You put the thing on there, and it
and it's supposed to grab the mold and kill it. What's that? Kathy O'Malley is in here. Do you have to leave? Technically, you don't, but
really?
I would. I'd be going out for a long
like
lunch.
Like those ones for fleas.
Yeah.
Right.
But they make a mold fogger. But here's, Al, what I would do is we got to control that in a different way. Since you're not up there, I want you to have an HVAC contractor install an exhaust fan with a humidistat in that basement. When the humidity level gets high, that bad boy's going to turn on. It's going to suck that air and blow it outside.
Oh, okay.
That's what you need. And so you can buy other big dehumidifiers like the Permaseal folks. I mean, this is, you said it's a way, but they make a system called Sanidry. You could look that up online, too. That's a whole house dehumidifier that's all on a timer and its own sensor. That can work, too. But if you did an exhaust fan and just grabbed that air and pulled it out, you'd be amazed at the difference. Appreciate the phone call. Hang on. We're going to get you out a Lose Crew t-shirt. All of you listening, thank you so much. As I mentioned, this is our last show for 2015. We're going to be off next Saturday. So Merry Christmas to all of you. I will be back after New Year's, and so we'll talk to you then. But thank you so much for a terrific year. Dave Plyer is going to fill in, so he's going to be here. Yeah, so I told him not to screw it up.
He has the most beautiful children. Oh, really? My goodness. Yeah.
He must have a beautiful wife because he's really not that handsome. Don't say anything.
I won't mention a word. Won't mention a word. Merry Christmas to you and your sweet
family. To you as well. And I'm very intrigued with this whole, Lindsay and I off the air, we're talking about the TV host who somebody said they something wrong.
HGTV host.
What?
Do you ever watch HGTV?
No.
Oh.
They're all a bunch of... you know what they are on HGTV? Let me tell you what they are. All those hosts. I want you.
You only wish you were as cute as the Property Brothers.
Correct. Exactly.
They're good looking people.
They're fantastic. And if I told them where to stick their thumb where the sun doesn't shine, I'd have to show them how to do it. They're all personal trainers.
Really?
Anybody watching HGTV, I want you to go someday to say, oh, I love that host. She's so cute. And then this is their big thing. They're a licensed contractor.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to be a licensed contractor,
I could be
tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. And then they'll always say, I used to help my dad in the backyard, or I went to the Juilliard school or whatever. They're all actors and whatever. They look great on TV.
Right.
I wouldn't want them building my deck.
Okay. But other than that.
Other than that, they're fabulous to look at. Those Property Brothers. Oh, Hubble, Hubble, Boomski.
What was that? Hubble, Hubble, Boomski.
All right.
Amen to that.
That's a Bruce Wolf thing.
Amen to that. Merry Christmas.